is primarily directed toward the following people. Okay? But all the rest of you can listen because it'll help every one of you. And I'm going to be brief this morning. So you really need to take notes today to get the good out of this because I'm not going to have time to dwell on each point. But our new officers for the coming year, and many of these folks hold more than one office in our church. But as I call your names, I want you just to stand up and sit down. David Cooper, Brittany Norris, Linda Norris, Mary Vannoy, Donnie Norris, Barry Stevens, Barbara Murdoch, Lynn Green, Tommy Norris, Scott Norris, Chris Simmons, Tim and Tracy, Scott Hilton, Derek Woody, Jordan Mercer, Brooke Holler. Some of them are not here this morning. How am I going to dedicate them? By proxy, I guess. It's Becky Williams. Did I call Sandy Cooper? If I didn't, I am now. Sandy Cooper, Johnny Jones, Jeff Crider, Eddie Norris, Ricky Woodring, Paul Widener, Christopher Harrison, Thomas Prophet, Aaron Shaw, Debbie Norris, James Holmes, Sam Miller, Junior Woodring, Holly Crider, Debbie Stevens, Jennifer Simmons, Nancy. Boy, how far crews out this morning? I just noticed. I'm going to make some calls this afternoon. Nancy Jones. No, I know where they are. They're all busy doing things. Wilma Miller, Rosalie Woodring, Danny Hodges, Barbara Hodges, Kelly. Thank you, Barb, for helping him up. Kelly Harrison, Shelley Helms, Paula Woodring, some of them are in the back, Jordan Mercer, Chesty Prophet, Nicole Garwood, and Basil Jones. And any other officers, there you go, Basil, thank you. Any other folks in our church that hold an office that I didn't call their names? Okay. Primarily, I'm speaking to these folks today. Our text today is out of Hebrews chapter 5. I'm letting the miracle series, Jesus' miracle series, go for a while and probably in the Advent season as well. But Hebrews chapter 5, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles and you will stand as I read God's Word, I'm going to make diligent effort not to comment on the Scriptures as I go through this morning, as I usually do. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant?" That's talking about the high priest. "He can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way." In other words, the ignorant, the ones that are too dumb to know what to do right, and the ones that are out of the way, they're already out of the way and not, are sinning and know that they're sinning. "For he himself also is compassed with infirmity." In other words, he sins too. Your wonderful associate pastor and your mediocre pastor, we both sin as well, you know, as you folks do. Hopefully not too as much. By reason whereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sin. So he prays for himself. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Excuse me. So also, now we get to the dynamite, listen to me, now we get to the dynamite gospel, okay? "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." He was called by God the Father. He was, and as he saith also in another place, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications," speaking of Christ, "with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect," or complete, "he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek." There is the dynamite gospel that we have. Here's the problem. We have officers that are taking over the running of this church and the ministry here for the year that have the dynamite gospel to work with, but they have firecracker religion. Now you say, "I don't have firecracker religion." Well, I'm going to give you four qualifiers in about 5.5 minutes that's going to let you know whether or not you are a firecracker dealing with dynamite religion. Okay? Here's the firecracker religion. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time that you ought to be teachers, ye have need that someone teach you because you are dumb. I added that. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God unto become. Isn't that user-friendly? What a way to encourage new officers starting for the year, huh? All right, you're deaf and you're dumb. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. But that's not all. He goes on to the next verse. Not only that, you are untrained. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled, or inexperienced rather, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Bless your heart. Not only that, he continues in verse 14, you are uncommitted, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, they've committed, they use, they exercise, they go to the gym, they work out, they make it happen. They have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And here is the kicker in the first two verses of 6. God says, and I say, and I encourage you today, and I hope will inspire you to upgrade your religion to a dynamite level instead of a firecracker level. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That verse seems hard to understand, but it's really not. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Father, speak, I pray, to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me tell you, you are a great, great bunch of leaders and an excellent group of officers. But I'm convinced that in my life, as well as in every one of your lives that I called your names this morning, that you are capable of much more than what you're doing. I really and truly believe that you could ratchet up your commitment and your execution of your position to a much higher level than what it has been in the past or what you are supposing it will be. The Bible speaks of treasures in earthen vessels. We believers are the receptors and the receptacles of the greatest treasure, the greatest story, the greatest remedy for this world that this world has ever known. You officers, particularly, that I called your name this morning, you are the caretakers and the administrators of the portion of that treasure that God has deposited in the body of South Fork Baptist Church. That is a tremendous responsibility. Consequently, the title of the message, Dynamite Gospel and Firecracker Religion. Just 2 points this morning. Point number one is the dynamite gospel that's covered for us in verses 4 through 10, and it's based around our great high priest, Jesus. I want you to consider 5 things about him, and then I'm going to give you 4 qualifiers for you to gauge your own self by. Number one, he was ordained by God, verse 5. Clearly said that. I read it for you. He didn't choose it himself. He was chosen by the Father, and the Father said, this day have I begotten thee. This day have I ordained thee. This day have I laid my hands on thee. This day have I decided that you, and I'm familiar with the triune God and the doctrine of the Trinity, and they all agree and none never disagree and all in purpose and plan and execution and understand all that. But there was a time when God said, you, son, are going to be the perpetuator. You are going to be the high priest. He was ordained by Father God. He didn't choose it. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7 says, I will declare the decree. Here's the decree. The Lord God himself has said, Jehovah God said to me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Second thing to consider about our great high priest Jesus is that he was ordained, verse 6, without precedent, without predecessor, or without successor. He was ordained a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who was not of the line of the tribe of Judah, was not even of the chosen people, was a Gentile heathen, if you'll have it, in origin,
And yet God chose him and made him a high priest and the chosen one of God, in whom the entire nation of Israel resided at that time in the body of Abraham, the chosen one of God to be the father of the Son of God, to offer salvation to the world. The chosen one of God bowed down to him, paid a tithe, and worshipped. And that heathen Gentile priest, or was from heathen origins or roots, blessed the father of the nation of Israel. And so it is with Jesus. There's so much in the type of Melchizedek. Oh my goodness, what a study. But he was a type of Jesus Christ, and he blessed that predecessor. So he was made a priest. Our high priest was made a priest without anyone to precede him. No one ever been like him before. No one will ever be like him in the future. And there was no precedent for him being made a high priest other than God chose him. Consider number three about our high priest. He earned the position. In addition to being commissioned by the Father, verse 7 and 8 tells us that he earned that position through prayer and crying and tears and obedience and suffering. And it says in verse 7, in that he feared. And that simply means reverential trust with a hatred of evil. So he was ordained by the Father. He was ordained in a most unusual way. And he earned the position by what he did and the sacrifice he made. And then the fourth thing to consider about him is found in verse 9, where it says that he, being made perfect or complete, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that believe. May I say, folks, all the things that we've heard over the TV this week and last week about people killing their babies, can you believe that? About someone killing a person and dismembering them and putting them in a trunk or whatever? About people taking... All those mean things that we've heard about and we've learned about, may I say to you that this verse of Scripture says that Christ made salvation. Every one of those people are forgiven if they'll accept what Christ did and repent of their sins. Baby killer, forgiven. Adulterer, forgiven. Whatever the sin is, doesn't matter. Mass murder, forgiven. It's all forgiven because of this grace. Do you understand the power of this gospel that we're talking about this morning? That's why my dad called it a dynamite gospel, and we execute it like firecracker religion. He earned the position. He completed. I wish that I could spend time in Hebrews chapter 2. Let me turn back one page, and let me just give you five real quick points out of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 through 15. If you have time to write them down, if you don't, just think about them. Verse 9, Jesus is our substitute. Verse 10, Jesus is our salvation. Verse 11, Jesus is our sanctifier. Jesus took this old unworthy sinner and he made me a saint of God and purified me. Verse 14, Jesus is our Satan conqueror. There's no power that Satan can bring against you that can overcome the power of God. And Jesus destroyed him through the power. He had the power of death, that's the devil, and he destroyed him. He took his power away on Calvary. He canceled his contract, and he collapsed his corporation on Calvary. And then in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 2, Jesus is our deliverer to take us through all those things. So he's ordained by God. He's ordained without precedent. He's earned the position. He's completed the plan, Hebrews 2, 9 through 14. And finally, he earned the rank in verse 10. There's a really cool thing right here, and then I'll get to our firecracker qualifiers. In verse 10, it says, in the King James Version, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Listen, that word called has a military implication. And Jerry and Basil, you old veterans that served this country, and many of the rest of you dead, done such a great job serving this country. That means one of the meanings of that is saluted by God. Son, you've done a good job. I salute you. It's a sign of respect and honor and rank. You always have to salute your superior when they appear. Ain't no superior, they're equal, they're all God. But the implication from that word, if you'll do a word study of that, the Father saluted the Son for the job that He had done. Wow. A plan to save the world, the entire world, He put in place. Do you understand? If I had time to help you grasp a little bit better. But I want to give you, my friends, you say, you officers that I called your name this morning, the rest of you that I didn't call your name, you sweet precious visitors and those who are here this morning, my Aunt Aura, I want you to think of these four things that he talks about in verse 11 through verse 14. Let me say this. I'm going to give you four things that indicate that you have a firecracker religion. And you only have to have one of them to be a firecracker. Remember the TNT firecrackers that would blow the mail off of your, blow the box off of your neighbor's mailbox if you put them in. I never did do that, but I know some of you boys did when you were young. But you remember the little peewee firecrackers that you could hold in your hands? I'm convinced that we have peewee firecracker Christians today. We have a few TNT firecrackers, and there's just very, very few of those dynamite Christians around today. And I want every officer in this church, as well as David and myself, to be dynamite religion people instead of peewee firecracker people or even TNT things. I want us to make a big difference everywhere we go. Here's the four qualifiers. They're in verse 11. First one's in verse 11, deafness. Paul said, I've got more to say, man. There is so much I could say about Jesus, but you wouldn't appreciate it. It would be like, if I were to tell you all about Jesus, it would be like playing Handel's Messiah to a classroom full of deaf people. If I were to tell you about Jesus, it would be like trying to explain Einstein's theory of relativity to a three-year-old. You're deaf. I've got more to say, but you can't appreciate it. Number two, not only are you deaf, but you haven't even gotten a hold of the very basics of this dynamite religion, verse 12. He says in verse 12, you should be teaching, but instead, listen to what he's saying. Listen to the implication here. Instead of teaching, you're always doubting and whining and questioning and maybe there's another way. Maybe Jesus is not the only way. Surely God will make a way for everybody that rejects Jesus. You know, surely if I... No, bless God. This is the word. There's only one way, and it's Jesus. Straighten up and stop your whining and crying, complaining. Somebody's always got to stroke you or you're not going to do your job. I believe I'll just quit. Get over it, my goodness. You're leaders now. Stand up and act like them. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says you literally need milk. In other words, you need reassurance constantly. Oh, you're okay. You're doing a good job. You're great. You're saved. No! Suck it up and be what you're supposed to be, bless God. Get a hold of it. Number three, here's the third qualifier as to whether or not we're firecrackers. Lack of experience, verse 13. He simply says here, if I can use a secular illustration, that you opted out of the college prep courses and you took the CREP courses. You remember when you're in high school, there were several curriculums you could follow, and if you were just going to be a good old boy, they had a bunch of easy courses. But if you were going to college prep, you had to do the chemistry and the biology and all that other stuff, trig and calculus and all that stuff. Remember that? And some of you have just in the kingdom of God chosen to take the CREP courses. Just get me out of here and get me to glory and I'm okay. Don't want to make a difference. You're the water boy instead of a team member. I remember when I played football in high school, there was this boy that wanted to be a football player. But he didn't have the backbone, so he was the water boy. You've chosen to be a water boy instead of a member of the team. You become a draft dodger, if you'll have another illustration. You had the opportunity, the writer of Hebrews says, you had the opportunity, but you chose not to take advantage of it. Well, how does that play out in my life? Well, you've made the world more important, or you've made the family more important, or you've made your career, or just any number of things, and your answer when God calls on you to do something, I'm so busy, well, bless your heart. The fourth qualifier. If you're not mad at me yet, probably. I'm glad you said what you did in Sunday school class this morning, Barry. Sometimes the preacher makes you mad when he preaches the word. But he don't do it on purpose. He does it to make you better. Amen, teacher? My Sunday school teacher right back there. Good man. Lack of commitment, verse 14. Uncommitted. Paul says in that, you're not mature yet. You're not a full age. I still remember when I was a student down at Campbell University at Buies Creek, they installed a new head of the religion department. There was a guy there that taught me, he was really an impressive professor. I forgot what he taught. Anyhow, he didn't get the chairship of the department. And there was this young guy that had been there that wound up, he's now the president of Campbell University, but he wound up getting the chair of the religion department. And I can still remember the next day in class, this old professor whining, "I've been here 30 years. And this other guy has only been here 3 years or 4 years, whatever it was. And he got the professorship." And I sat there and I thought about that. And then I heard someone make a comment just a little bit later about that situation. And they said, "Listen, there's a major, major difference in 30 years of experience and 1 year of experience 30 times. It'll sink in a minute. You have just not taken advantage of your opportunities. Consequently," he says, and I need to read verse 14, and I'll just be about 5 more minutes we're through, but he said, "Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, those that have taken, those that are committed, those that have taken advantage of all those opportunities of studying and growing and learning, even those who by reason of use," how do you do it? You use it. You stay in the Word. You stay available and you use all those opportunities to learn and to grow that you have. And so as a congregation or as an individual, we make ourselves grow, so we exercise. Talking about being in the gym and working out and exercise. And consequently, because of that, listen to this, how we apply this. Because you have experienced and you have done those things and you don't have that lack of commitment, you can discern good from evil. So if you're here this morning and you can discern good from evil, you're not one of those guys that says, "Oh, what's wrong with that?" Or, "I'm not hurting anybody but what I do." Or, "There's nothing wrong with playing the lottery. There's nothing wrong with social drinking. There's nothing wrong with R-rated movies and X-rated death." You haven't exercised enough, or you wouldn't be saying those things. I know. I thought about short dresses and long hair and lipstick, but you know that's of a time gone by. Bless your hearts. Anything, guys, my mom used to tell me and Dad, "Son, if you have to come and ask me if it's all right, if you can do it, that's your answer. There's your sign, boy." You know, conclusion, Hebrews chapter 6. Barry, I'm going to ask you to get ready to pray the dedication prayer since you're the chairman of our deacons for these new officers for this year. I know all these people are wanting to go over another building. Has God touched your heart this morning? Has He spoken to you about some weakness in your life? If He has, do like this. That's yes. Oh, we got a bunch of perfect people. Only me and Lori. Oh, okay, Jackie. We got, yeah. Okay. Here's the application. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 2. And He simply says in those verses that I read in your hearing, advance beyond fire insurance. Many of us just want fire insurance. That's the beginning of the Word of God. Jesus Christ died for your sins. All you got to do is accept Him and you're saved. That's it. That's fire insurance. And you've got that and you've grasped it and you haven't done another thing with it. Advance beyond fire insurance. Number two, advance to the perfection that He talks about in verse 1 of chapter 6. The principle, advance beyond the word of the beginning of Christ unto perfection or completion, which implies full development, growth into maturity of godliness, and not sinless perfection. It's not talking about sinless perfection. I'm not perfect. Well, that's an understatement. But advance to the point of full development, growth into maturity, and then finally, this is the last one. Advance to the full... See, this is the point. Let me... Let me take just a second to explain this to you. What he's saying here in verse 1 is, the foundation's already laid, guys and gals. The foundation is already laid. Here is what's supposed to resurrect. Out of that foundation that's been laid of Christ, there is supposed to resurrect a superstructure. This is really what he's about. There is supposed to resurrect a superstructure which will support the addition and the maturing of new believers. That's what he's saying. He said, the foundation's laid, guys. The foundation has been laid. So don't lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works. You're not supposed to sin, so just stop it. Don't have to go on back and do all that and do all that and do all that. Or faith toward God. Faith toward God, not faith in Jesus Christ. Faith toward God. God's able to take care of everything that comes into my life. I can't fix it, but God can. It's faith toward God. It has nothing to do with your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's faith toward God and God's sovereignty and ability to take care of it. Build that structure. Tell people that God's able, that you serve a God that can take care of this world and eternity and everything that comes into it. And then go on the doctrine of baptism, which is a witness to the world of what's went on inside of me. And the doctrine of the laying on of hands, I'm not only blessed, but I'm blessing. That speaks of blessing other people. Become a blessing. And of resurrection from the dead, that has to do with what's going to happen with the inside of me when this old body dies and goes away. And the reality of eternal judgment. Get on, guys. Build an organization that can support the birth and the growth of those folks, of new believers in our community. We have plenty of them around us that are not saved. Now, I want everyone to come. I want everyone that I call your name, if you're here, rather than trying to gather you all in the front, I want you to stand where you are. I want everybody else to remain seated. If I called your name at the start, I want you to stand where you are as Brother Barry Stevens comes to the pulpit. And if there's someone standing near you, I want you to reach over and touch that person. Okay? If your name is called, you stand. If there's someone standing near you, I want you that are seated to reach over and touch that person. We're laying hands on them and we're blessing them. Officers, I'm encouraging you. And I hope that this word from God inspired you to be greater for God this year than you have ever been in the past. It's all Him, and He's the one that does it. But you make up the mind. Paul said, I made up my mind when I came to you to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let that be our guiding force. And I'm going to be talking about those other things toward the end of the year, but let that inspire us as we begin this year. And then after you close this, Brother Barry, in prayer, the rest of you may stand. We'll greet you as you leave, and we're so glad all of you are here. And remember, lunch is over there. Just go get it and take it home with you. Brother Barry. Wait a minute, sweetie. I got a microphone. Yeah.
October the 12th, 1978, is when Elmer was called the preach. That's 35 years.
Wow.
And I just want to thank the Lord that I'm His helpmate.
Wow.
And it's been kind of rough, but it's been good to me. But God has blessed us with 35 years of ministry. And I'm just proud of being His wife. Hmm.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of being here in Your house this morning. We thank You for each one of these leaders. God, we know we're nothing without You. And God, I pray that You will be with our leaders in our church this year. Give them the boldness, the courage, the truth, Lord, and the obedience to look to You for guidance. And God, I know that You're doing a great work here in our church, and we thank You for that. We just want Your hand upon these leaders and all of us, members, leaders, and help us all to be like you were when you were here, to help people, to be concerned about the lost, to be concerned about the needs of our community and our people. But God, most of all, we realize that we are nothing without you. Thank you for Jesus coming and saving our souls, that we have a future. We have eternal life with you, and we just thank you for that. Lord, just go with us as we go home and bring us back at the next appointed time. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.